a little vignette about a second grade teacher who steps out of class just for a moment, and she tells all of the students to behave themselves until she returns. 5 minutes later, she turns the corner onto her corridor in the school. The same teacher hears the predictable yells and the noise of the 20 students left behind in her classroom. And then she turns again and she sees little Mary, one of the students, standing outside the classroom. And the teacher simply says, "What's the matter, Mary? And why are you standing here in the hallway?" Mary replied with a mixture of frustration and annoyance, "We're all being bad, and we don't know how to stop." We're all filled with that sense at times, even as Christians on these Easter days. We get the message, but sometimes we don't know how to put it into action. We're all filled, as we heard in this gospel, with the Holy Spirit that Jesus breathes not just on those in the upper room, but breathes on us right here in this church this morning. He breathes His Holy Spirit of love, which is always symbolized by fire. In the Jesuit Curia in Rome, I don't know if you know this, but in one of the long hallways, there's a statue of St. Ignatius of Loyola urging everyone in Latin, "Ite inflammata omnia," you go set the world on fire. And ironically, in the corner right there, there's a fire extinguisher right behind that statue. True story. In other words, it's hard to be our best selves. In the words of little Mary, how do we go from being bad to being good? Those two little vignettes I just shared come from a great book that I read. It's called Setting the World on Fire, 10 Tips for Being Catholic, written by the Jesuit Richard Molloy. And taking that idea of you and I setting the world on fire this Easter, I'd like to place in front of us the three apostles that emerge right from our readings this morning. First one is Peter from the Acts. Second one is John from the book of Revelation. And the third one, Thomas from the Gospel. So Peter, here's the guy that denies Christ three times, yet somehow he gets rehabilitated. But do we call him forever denying Peter, like we do doubting Thomas? No, he's the rock. He's the prince of the apostles. In fact, imagine, here's this guy standing at the fire, denying Christ, and just a few weeks later, in the Acts of the Apostles, isn't it interesting that everyone is mesmerized by Peter and the rest of them? And I love that one little line in the reading today. It says that they carried the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on one or another of them. Imagine what that felt like. That kind of power could go to one's head, don't you think? Let's take a look at John in the book of Revelation. Here he is. This is the disciple who outran Peter last week. He's a young John. He's the one that Jesus loved. In fact, I love a rendering of John at the Last Supper, resting his head on what? The chest of Jesus, it says. But if we look at that literally, Barbara Reed, a scripture scholar from Catholic Theologic Union in Chicago, she says that this disciple whom Jesus loved was resting his head on the womb of Jesus. Isn't that interesting? Birthing imagery. And that the disciple whom Jesus loved is as close to Jesus as we are when we're in the womb of our mother. Isn't that a beautiful image? And so here's this disciple who's now an older man. He's on the island of Patmos. And he's there and he has this incredible revelation of the temple in heaven. In Latin, the word for temple is fanum. And that's where we get the word profanity, profanum. So when something's profane, it's outside the temple. But what this revelation reminds us today that belief in the resurrection, belief in heaven marries both the sacred and the secular. And so for all of us, no matter what zip code we live in, we're meant to bring the sacred into the secular. Beautiful image, isn't it? And here we have Thomas. What do we call Thomas even to this day? Doubting Thomas, don't we? Didymus. He expresses, I think, what many of us feel a lot of the times. Skeptical, doubtful, just not sure about all this religion business. He's hard-headed, isn't he? There's a Spanish proverb that fits Thomas to a T. Crea fama y acuestate a dormir. What does that mean? Establish your reputation and then go to bed. In other words, once people believe something about you, you might as well go to bed. Because there's nothing really you can do to change it once it's out there in public opinion. Thomas had one moment of doubt, and for all time, that's how he's remembered. Isn't it just debilitating sometimes to be boxed in? Has anyone ever been boxed in by someone? To compartmentalize just one little action of our lives? In that same book by Father Rich Malloy, he talks about a Jesuit on the witness stand after witnessing a crime, and the defense lawyer was hammering away at his testimony. He says, "Are you sure you saw that? And are you certain you saw this?" And after a while, the Jesuit replied, "Look, buddy, I teach philosophy. Some days I'm only 50% certain I exist." I think all of us are like that. What can we really be certain of? So poor Thomas, he only speaks four times in the entire New Testament, and all of John's Gospel it's recorded. The first time he says something really profound. He says, "Let's all follow Jesus even to his death." Because he's standing there seeing Lazarus being raised. So he's saying, this is pretty good stuff, isn't it? Second time he says, "Lord, we don't have any idea where you're going." He almost sets up one of the best one-liners of Jesus in the whole Gospel. Because what does Jesus reply? "Thomas, where I'm going, you don't know, but just remember, I am the way, the truth, and the life." Great line. The third time, what does Thomas say? "It is my Lord and my God." Imagine that. That one pithy phrase, "my Lord and my God," sums up Easter faith. But what do we remember about Thomas? "Unless I see the wounds," right? "Unless I put my hand in his side, I won't believe." And so for all of us today, I'd like for us to think about those three apostles, Peter, John, and Thomas. And I'd like to suggest we have all three of them in us all the time. They teach us three movements to the Christian life. They teach us that we all need service, we need solitude, and we need study. Service of Peter. What was the first thing that he was doing after he's rehabilitated? He's out there on the streets of Jerusalem working hard to bring others to Christ. What do we see about John? The value of prayer. Pope Francis says, "Without prayer, we risk becoming an NGO. That the church will just become a social service organization. By our very roots, we as a church are contemplative. Remember, we were founded in an upper room. We weren't playing bingo, trying to raise money for the church fair. We were at prayer, and we need prayer, otherwise we're lopsided." And Thomas teaches us that we all need study. There's nothing like sending good rain to really water the roots of our souls. And so let's think about what are we reading to make our minds and our hearts on fire for the Lord. In conclusion, the best way that we can become Easter people is to encounter the wounds that Jesus shows us on that first Easter night. Those wounds are the place that we recognize Jesus. Those wounds are part of Jesus' future, not just his past. And so there's something about all of us today as the church that Jesus left behind that we need to touch the wounds of the world. And we see those wounds, the wounds of our own, the wounds of loved ones, and the wounds of everyone in the world. Think of so much collateral damage in this world. Innocent people who are caught in the crossfires of terrorism, of so much of the conflict in our world. Everywhere we look, we can see the wounds of Christ. Those wounds are Jesus' wounds. And Jesus invites us to put our fingers into those wounds of everyone in the world. As a Jesuit parish, all of us are called to set the world on fire with the love of the Holy Spirit. It's a very, very tall order. Even though there's fire extinguishers all around us, let's not give in. Let's set the world on fire with our own unique personalities. Today is Divine Mercy Sunday. Another Jesuit in a book called Tattoos on the Heart, Greg Boyle, he says that mercy is the wallpaper of Jesus' soul. Imagine that the answer to every question in the world is simply mercy. I pray God is deeply blessed by the way we are ministers of mercy, tending to the wounds of Christ. Whether we are serving, whether we are in solitude of prayer, or studying, we need all three to be fire.